has given me a legacy. And, you know, we're all different. I'm not a carbon copy of my dad, and my son's not going to be a carbon copy of me, but I do thank the Lord that I grew up in the home that I grew up in. And but you know what? For all of you that have lost a parent, be thankful that God gave you that parent. Be thankful that, you know, even if they're not here, and that can be sad for some of us on Mother's Day and Father's Day. You know, my wife has lost her father, and some of you lost your fathers and mothers. Understand that it's a gift from God when we have family. So just thank the Lord for that. And for those of you that did not have a great relationship with your earthly dad, remember this. The Father loved us so much that He sent His Son to die so that we could have a relationship with the Father. You are not fatherless. You may be fatherless here, but you are not fatherless. So I think we could all celebrate Father's Day and wake up today. You know, it's really been on my spirit, and I'm going to address it, and I hope you'll see how God's going to hopefully tie this up. Some people say you're not supposed to, as a preacher, say stuff about stuff like this. It's uncomfortable to talk about certain things, but I'm going to say something right now. I'm going to talk a little bit. And, you know, I don't talk about politics behind a pulpit. I don't think that's the place. Jesus isn't Democrat, and He's not Republican. He's not even American. He's above all that. Okay? So I'm not talking politics, but I do think there's things going on in this country that I'm going to address right here at Lost Creek and for all those around the world. How do you know this week there was a crazy, disturbed, evil young person that walked into a church in Charleston, South Carolina, a city called the Holy City, and sat down in a Bible study for an hour. Sat down for an hour as men and women of God talked about God and had a Bible study, and then stood up and killed 9 people. And then before he killed them, I think he spewed some sort of vomit from hell about this and that. And then he killed 9 people. And, you know, people say, well, that's uncomfortable to talk about. Well, I think this is exactly where we need to talk about it. And I realize that in a certain sense that people are saying, and I guess in a certain sense it's very true, that that's an attack on a certain race of people. And I guess it was. But it's also an attack on all humanity. Because as Martin Luther King said, when hate and evil goes against any one group, it hurts the whole humankind. And not only is it an attack against a race or a whole of humanity, but it's an attack on God's people. This was an attack on the church. The church. Because anytime evil feels comfortable enough to go and sit down in a church and sit to a Bible study and stand up and kill people, I think it's time for God's people to stand up. I think it's time for God's people to wake up and say, we're not afraid to stop. We're not going to run from these issues and stop talking about these issues because it might not be comfortable for us. But we need to stand up and say, we're going to stand for something. That we are all God's people. And we're going to stand together. And as long as the enemy can get in between us and divide us and make people separate, then we'll never function as the church. As long as the enemy can separate us as a people, all God's people, then we'll never function as a church. The church has got to be the ones to lead the way. The church has got to be the ones to stand up. The church has got to be the ones that say, all God's people are welcome in God's house, and we should all be worshiping together. And we need to stop just looking for people that look just like us. But we need to look at all God's people, and we need to worship together. And as long as it's under my watch, the only flag that'll fly over this church is this flag. The only flag welcome in this church is this flag. Hate is not welcome here. And it's time God's people take the lead. We need to quit being a reflection of this culture, and we need to start reflecting on this culture. We need to start leading the way. We need to start showing people out there how all people can work together. And it starts with us. So wake up. I'm not even going to preach, but I am going to read a quick maybe scripture for 10 minutes. Give me 10 minutes. We're going Old Testament. And you don't have to stand because I'm not even going that way this today. We're not doing that kind of start. But thank you, Betty. I'm going to read from the book of Judges 6 about waking up, about standing up, about a time when God's people had turned their back, when God's people were in a state of slumber, when God's people were asleep. This isn't the first rodeo. We're not the first generation to fall asleep. So we need to look at what other generations have done. Judges 6, here we go. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. God's people were hiding. They were scared. They were asleep. They were in places of cave. They were in places of rest. They were in safe places, just waiting for the storm to pass. Maybe some of you are hiding, asleep, waiting for the storm to pass. And whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from the Midian and Amalek and the people of the east would attack Israel. Sometimes every time we try to do good, it feels like the enemy just comes and sucks away everything we try to do. Has anybody been there? Every time you try to do something good in your life, the enemy just comes on and mows it away. I try to start going to church, and then something bad happens. And I try to tithe, and I lose my job. And then I try to do this, and something bad happens. That's the situation they were in. And so they left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, goats, and cattle, and donkeys. They were hungry people. They were starving people. This land is full of hungry people. This land is full of starving people. This community is full of hungry people. And I'm not just talking about the kids that we deliver brown bag lunches to. Yes, they're hungry. But I'm talking about their parents, and I'm talking about the workplaces, and I'm talking about the schools, and I'm talking about the church buildings. There are hungry people in this community. There are hungry people in this world. There are hungry people all over this nation, this world. The enemy hordes coming with their livestock and tents were as thick as locusts. Ever felt that way? Your enemy feels as thick as grasshoppers, as locusts. You ever feel encircled? You ever feel like your life is just surrounded by bad things? You just can't seem to get out of it. Is there anybody in that situation or ever been in that situation? As thick as locusts, they arrived on droves of camels, too numerous to count. And they stayed until the land was stripped bare. So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. And the Israelites cried out to God. They were reduced to starvation. They were meant to be God's chosen people. You were called with purpose. You're not meant to be asleep. You're not meant to hide. You're not meant to starve. You're not to hold yourself up in caves. You were meant to do something special. You were uniquely created, each and every one person in here. Not just the rich folk, not just the shiny folk, not just people who look a certain way, who dress a certain way, who have a certain color or a certain hair color or a certain job or a certain vocation, but every single person in here was made by God. You were made by God, special and unique and full of powerful purpose. But we have begun to identify ourselves as the sleeper. We've begun to identify ourselves as those in hiding. We've begun to identify ourselves as the weak one, the surrounded one, the hungry one, the starving one. And I'm here to tell you the greatest theft the enemy has ever done. He's a thief, remember? He comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. The greatest theft he's ever done is he has stolen the people of God's identity. We've lost our identity. We've become to believe that we're something we're not. We've become to believe that we're less than we are, less than what we were created to be. You were made to be special. So they cried to the Lord. You ever been so broke, so desperate? You know, we're on top of our game. When we're full of ourselves, it's all about us. But when we really get broken, that's when people find God, isn't it, usually? Well, I wish I would have been smarter than that. But we have to usually get broken and so down low before we're willing to cry out to God. So they cried out to God. And the Lord sent a prophet. And he said, look, guys, you've forgotten who you are. The Lord sent a prophet. He said, I rescued you from Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and gave you the land. I told you I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you now live, but you have not listened to me. You're asleep. You're asleep. Then the angel of the Lord, some believe a pre-incarnate Christ, but no matter what, the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, say Gideon. Gideon wasn't asleep. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. In other words, this guy was doing something good. He was being productive. But he was so scared that he hid away and did it where nobody could see him. Because what if somebody takes it? What if the enemy attacks? And so I'll just lock myself in a little safe building that looks kind of like this. And I'll thresh wheat. And I'll do good things. But nobody will ever see. So who ate? Who gets to eat? As we hide in our little closet and do good things. Do our children eat from that? Does our nation eat from that? Does our community eat from that? So he hid away. And the angel of the Lord said this: mighty hero. Here's this cat, a nobody from nowhere. The scripture, he later says that. I'm the least, God. I'm not even from a prominent family. I'm a nobody. My dad doesn't even serve the Lord. I have no legacy. I don't have a happy Father's Day. My dad worships idols. I'm a nobody. I'm a loser, God. But God says, no, Gideon. The enemy has stole your identity. Wake up, sleeping giant. You are a mighty hero, mighty warrior. You are a mighty hero. Wake up. Wake up. Mighty hero, because the Lord is with you. The enemy says, you're a divorcee. I say, you're a mighty hero. The enemy says, you are a cheater. I say, you are a mighty hero. The enemy says, you are a drug addict. But God says, you are a mighty hero. The enemy says, you are the wrong sex, the wrong color, the wrong height, the wrong weight. You don't look the part, but God says, you are a mighty hero. Wake up, heroes. Wake up. The enemy says, you're an ex-con, but God says, you're a mighty hero. The enemy says, you're a tatted up, rough old rascal, but God says, you are a mighty hero. The enemy says that you're just a to yourself kind of guy. But God says you are a mighty hero. The enemy says you're shy. But God says you're a mighty hero. The enemy says you're insecure. But God says you're a mighty hero. The enemy says you can't change. But God says you're a mighty hero. The enemy says different people can't worship together. But my God says, we are mighty heroes. One translation says, a mighty warrior. Wake up, mighty warrior. The Lord is with you. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? As we're getting quick, I'm going as fast as I can. Where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Listen here. That's where many of us are, right? God, if you're with us, why has all this bad stuff happened? God, if you're with us, why do you let some crazy, demonic man walk in and shoot 9 people? Why do things like this happen? God, if you're with us, then why? God, if you're with us, why am I sick? I was just getting started. Why am I sick? if you're with us? Why do I still cry at night when I'm trying to sleep? God, if you've really called me to be this mighty hero, woo, then why does it feel like this? And why does this happen? I like this story because, you know, I've talked to a lot of people, and isn't this a natural human response? Why? And I really believe in all my heart, if everybody in here is honest, everybody, I don't see any super Christians in here. Everybody has asked this question. Why? Why did this happen to me when I was a little boy? Why did this happen to me when I was a little girl? I love that man, and I raised his kids, and I washed his dirty socks. Why did he throw me away? God, if I'm really a mighty hero and you're really with us, why am I not walking up in the caskets at Sturgill's and getting people out of the grave anymore? Why? Why are there people that don't get along, and why are we a people as a church that's splintered and fractioned, and why are people jealous of each other? Why? The Lord turned to him. Said this. Here's the word. Here's the word. Have you ever asked that question? Here's your answer. There's going to be some questions, you know, we'll never get the answer till we know, get to the other side. There's some things, you know, his viewpoint's higher than ours. You know, if you're down in a tree, in a forest, you can just see the trees. But when you're up in a helicopter, you can see the whole landscape. And sometimes you just got to trust that God's going to be God. And his viewpoint's a little higher. But God, or this angel, the Lord, answers Gideon. He turns to him and says this. Gideon, you want to know why? Listen, Gideon. Go with the strength you have. And you rescue Israel from the Midianites. Because I'm sending you. Sometimes we sit in our sleep. And we sit in our caves. And we lay in our bed scared to death saying, God, why don't you do something about it? But let me tell you something, Lost Creek. Let me tell you something, man, woman, boy, or child. He hung on a cross. He bled for you. He died for you. He went into a tomb, and he got up in 3 days, and he ascended to the Father, and he sent back his Holy Spirit. You know what he's saying? I did my part, boys. You get up. You wake up. Quit hitting the snooze button. You get out there, and you do it. You make a difference. You be the church. You preach love. You love everybody. You accept everybody. You get out of these walls. Too many people come and they're looking for God. You know, they read some kind of fairy tale. They're looking for God to be like a fairy. Come over and just start poofing things in their life and making it all right. He said, you know what? You're a mighty hero. You got to know it. And you got to own it. And you got to get up out of bed, quit hitting snooze, and you got to go change the world. He said, Gideon said, why? And he said, Gideon, I've sent you. You're the why. We're the solution in him. Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. I'm not looking for no fairies. I'm not looking for magic dust. I'm not looking. I know Willa likes those little things. What do you call it? Wands. Princess wands. And that's sweet. That's real sweet. But I'm looking for a generation that'll put on their boots and put on their big girl britches. I was going to say panty, didn't you? Put on their big girl panties and put on their big boy boxers and get out there and put their boots on and fight for the heart of the ones that Jesus loves. Fight for the hurting. Fight for the lonely. Fight for the depressed. And when we see injustice, do not run and do not be afraid to stand up and fight for those that are down and out. It's time we stop hiding away and saying, I don't think we should talk about stuff like that in church. Get out there and be the church. So the Lord said, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. We skip ahead. Gideon asked for some tests, and Gideon made a call and said, I need some men who'll be about this thing. God needs some men and women who'll be about this thing. It's not about a building or a property. That's just a starting point. That's not a destination. That's just the first step, boys. God needs a people in all over this country, in China, in Africa, in California. He needs people all over this world to be about it, a church. People that don't always look the same, that don't always dress the same, that don't always sound the same, that don't always like the same things. The beauty of God to come together and be the church. And so Gideon made that call, and 32,000 men showed up. 32,000 men showed up. Said, we're going to fight. But you know what God said? Not all of them are about it. Here's the question, are you about it? Lots of people come, I'll be honest with you, there's probably been, I mean, if you count repeats, there's probably been 32,000 come here or more. There's probably been 10% of that hit this altar, maybe more. Maybe half. But God said, they're not all going to be about it. Not all. He wants us all to be about it. But listen, I can't teach you want to. I can't send you a million texts a week and make want to. I can encourage you. I can empower you if you want to. But that want to's got to be down in here. If you want to, you'll make it. But if you don't want to, there's nothing I can do. There's not enough text in this universe. We would shut down Verizon or AT&T or whoever, and it wouldn't do enough. In fact, I've noticed that some of the people I've poured into the most don't make it. And I'm not saying we can't see the end of the script. There's seeds that are planted, and who knows how this all... And I'm not talking about coming here. I'm just talking about serving God, because I'm all about sending people out. So he said this, Gideon, he said this to Gideon. Tell the ones who are afraid or timid, shy, who are timid or afraid, go on to the house. Go on to the house. Well, that's a tough message to preach, isn't it? Well, if I preach that, I think you all have a talk with him about that. Probably wouldn't be the first time. Probably wouldn't be the last time. So 22,000 out of the 32,000 were either timid or afraid. Right off the bat. I'll tell you something I've learned. This is a safe place. This is a cave. This is a wine press. And there's a lot of people about it in here. But when you go out there, you better be about it. There's places I go, I don't want people who are afraid. I don't want people insecure. I don't want people focused on themselves. I've learned that a long time ago. I love you. I'll pray for you. You pray for me, but just stay at the house. There's places I go that I need people who I can count on. And I'm not alone, because that's what Jesus Christ did. He went in places where he said, boys, I'm not taking everybody. Just give me James and John and Peter. I just want the boys I can count on to go in with me. I don't need any weaklings. And we think that's tough, but that's the gospel. Democracy is a Greek concept. It's not a Christian concept. God didn't call it, give everybody equal access. He called everybody. We all have the ability to go to heaven. But some who were more about it, he said, you come with me, boys. Come to the mountain of transfiguration, because there's something about your heart that you're about it. Not everybody got invited in those places. That's a tough message. That's the gospel. So he said, send those 22,000 home, because I can't use them on this project. I'm not saying he sent them to hell, but he said, boys, we're going to fight, and I need some fighters. Grant, you said that to start with. We need some warriors. You said, Apollo said, there are no more wars. Friend, there are wars out there. We're seeing it this week. People are trying to divide God's people. based on stuff that don't even matter. There's wars right now raging in our culture. So then that still wasn't enough. 10,000, he said, take them down the water. See how they drink. And by the time it was over, he took the 32,000 people who answered the call. Get this. These are people that answered the call. These aren't the people out just not about it. These are the people that came to the call. Count to three. 1, 2, 3. Please come to the altar. 32,000 answered the call. But only 300 he could take into battle. Are you one of the 300? What am I looking at? Are you one of the 300? 32,000 answered the call. But there were 300 that said, I'll go into battle. And I'll give it my all. And it won't be about me. And Gideon, I'll go wherever God leads us. And I'll be by your back. And I'll die for this thing if that's what it takes. He only wanted 300. Jesus only wanted 12. We only took 12. Lots came and lots went. The Bible says many were offended by his teachings. Sounds like my problem. So I'm in good company. They said, Master, your teaching's too hard. Heath, you preach too hard at these people. Because I'm looking for 300. Pastor so-and-so with the big smile, no offense to anybody, with a big smile and a nice suit and a television deal and a full-house stadium, he can preach to 32,000 and God bless him. Somebody needs to answer that call too. But I want 300 to go into the pits of hell with me and take back what the enemy has stolen. And I just want to know, are you one of the 300? So they went, and they were scared. Look, I've been into some scary places, and I ain't even seen it. We ain't just getting started. Will, where's Will? Will, we've been in places, and Dad and I have been in places, and other people maybe, where there was tangible demonic activity. Where we saw that stuff that you see in movies, didn't we, Will? Haven't we? You got to be one of the 300 to stare at that. So they were going into battles. We come to a close, and God said, "Go up on the hill." I'm just going to summarize because we gotta finish. God said, "Go up on the hill, and you go look at what you go into their camp. Just send you and your servant. You kind of spy out. See, we got this thing that we're afraid out there of those evil people. I'm not scared of those nuts out there. They can't. I'm not Martin Luther King. They can't do nothing to me. They can't do nothing to me. They can shoot. Have it. I win. They can't do a thing to me. They can't touch me. Because I win. So they went up on the camp and they looked out. Maybe you guys are this way. Maybe you think that the things in your life are so tough. Maybe some of you think the things in your life, the problems in your life, you just can't beat. There's too many of them. It's too hard. I've tried. And so God took them up there and let them listen in on the enemy's kind. You need to listen. See, it goes back to identity. You've got to start understanding the way the enemy fears you. Not you in your little fleshly state, because me and you is not that powerful to look at, really. But you, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the fire of Christ, is a scary, scary thing to the enemy. And so he got to go up and listen to what the enemy was saying. You know what the enemy was saying? Oh my goodness, we're having dreams about that Gideon and about those mighty people. We're scared of them. They're going to destroy us. We think, oh my goodness. That enemy that you think has got you locked down is scared to death of you. That's why he fights. Because he knows if you ever really get it, if you're ever really one of the 300, the world will change. Your family will change. You will will start a revolution within your family. Your children will go out. Your children will be blessed. There'll be things in your life you'll never imagine. You'll have a new identity. And that scares him. That scares him to death. That's why he fights so hard. That's why he goes in and sends people to go in and create discord in the church. Because he knows if we ever come together as a people of Christ, he's scared. So they got excited. Gideon heard, and he got charged up. He got charged up, and he said this. He went back into camp. He went back into camp. This is what Pastor R was saying, Dad. He went back into camp, and he said, "Boys, get up! Get up! Quit sleeping! They're scared to death of us! It's time to get up! You've been snoozing long enough! You've been scared long enough! You've been paralyzed in fear long enough! You've been held hostage in your own home long enough. You've been held hostage in your own mind long enough. Go down into the enemy's camp." What'd you sing? "We win. Because I, God, have given you victory over them." So Gideon and those men went to the edge of the camp. Powerful thing right here. It said, it was just after midnight. Somebody said something about midnight. Ought to go in that scripture. That's when the guy went to sleep, right? Time to go to sleep, but it's just after midnight. Guess what, friend? It's after midnight. Time for sleeping's done gone. The time for burying our head in the sand's gone. The time for producing our wheat in the wine press while we hide away is gone. The time for pretending our kids don't do drugs is gone. The time for to pretend our kids don't know about sex is gone. The time to pretend our kids don't see pornography is gone. The time to pretend all this stuff isn't happening is gone. And it's time to get up and stand up because it's after midnight. And it's time to get out there and go do something. He said, it's after midnight. And so those men just stood around the edge. And they blew the horn and they had their light and they broke their jar. That's a real awkward battle plan. Dad says we do awkward things here sometimes, and he is absolutely correct. We do. But, you know, this book is full of really awkward things as far as you. See, our ways don't seem to work. We criticize the way things go on, but is our way working? That's what I don't understand about the critical spirit. Somebody who is miserable, depressed, and hates their life will sit here and criticize. You have no right to criticize. Until you got it all figured out, I really don't want to hear about it. Once you figure it all out and you got it all worked out, you come talk to me about it. Then you can be critical. So it didn't make a lot of sense. But guess what? That big army, some people say 135,000 people, got scared to death and terrified. They were already scared. The ground was already ripe. The ground was already tilled. They were already scared to death. And so they heard the horns blow. And they saw the light and they heard the commotion. And they got scared and they got confused because they were asleep. And they started attacking each other and killing the wrong people. And the word says they were all killed or ran away, far away. It just takes 300. An army of 135,000. Sometimes we get guilty of that. We want numbers. Give me 12 on fire. You can keep the numbers. I know it does something for my insecurity if we have big numbers. If I have an altar call in a minute and several people respond, that helps my preacher insecurity. It makes me feel good about myself. Then I can have a scoreboard and I can put on Facebook. Woo! When I preached today, 10 people got saved. And then the other preacher get on there and say, woo! When I got preached today, 15 got saved. And then another one preach. You know? It's all about the scoreboard. It's time we start wanting to see real on fire change in people's lives. It ain't about the scoreboard no more. We got enough insecure preachers. You don't need another one. So here's the part I'm going to finish on. And we're pretty good, almost. Each man stood. Somebody said it earlier. Stand up. Stand up. Each man stood at his position around the camp and watched as God won the battle. So this is how we finish. You say, preacher, how do we stop people from hating each other? Just get out there and stand up. Take a stand. Watch God win the battle. Preacher, how do I get off this alcohol? Get out there and make yourself accountable and stand up. Quit trying to do good in the wine press. Yes. Yes, there it is. That's somebody willing to stand up. I heard somebody, I won't say who, tell me about, I think it was some habit they were doing. Said, I'm not, but they were joking. They said, or maybe they were talking about somebody else. They said, I'm just going to kind of do it in secret, and that way if I don't mess up, if I mess up. No. Get out there. Stand up and make yourself accountable. And watch God give us the victory. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do this. Preacher, what are you going to do about my broken marriage? Get up. Go out there and stand up for something. We'll never get it wallowing in our misery. We'll never get it doing the same patterns and the same paths. We got to take a different road. Stand up. So that's the question. Are you one of the 300? And are you willing to take a stand for something in your life? Are you willing to make yourself accountable? Is it after midnight for you yet? So I thank you guys for being attentive. This was a very irregular service. Welcome to Lost Creek if you're new. That's the way we roll, isn't it? That's the way we roll. Happy Father's Day. I learned from the best. And I mean that. We know that God's in control, but I will say this. It means something when you see somebody else that's willing to not fall in line with all that religious junk. That's a great legacy. And that's what I meant by that. So if you're in here today and you feel like the Midianites are all around your life, you're confused about things in your life or problems in your life or situations in your life, or maybe things out there, your children, your home, the culture, let me tell you something. We win in the end. Emmanuel AME Church this morning had service. Hate does not win. Hate does not win. Hate does not win. I didn't see it, but I read it on Twitter or something. But my belief is that at the arraignment, the family member, I don't remember which family member of a victim, stood and made a statement at some point and said, I forgive you. Invite him to church. Hate doesn't win. Love wins. So every head bowed, I thank you for being attentive. I know this has been irregular. I just want to know this. Are you one of the 300? You say, well, I don't know. You don't have to have it all figured out. Gideon came from the least of the families. Gideon had no father in his life. Gideon was the least of people, but he was just willing to take a stand. That's all it takes. To be one of the 300, you don't have to be the shiny people. You don't have to be the smart people. You don't have to be the loud people. You just have to be willing. You got to have the want to. Do you want to be one of the 300? If that's you, raise your hand right now. I'm not going to beg. If you know it, you know it. Raise your hand. I want to be one of the 300, Pastor. I want to be the one that goes into battle. I want to be the one that makes a difference in my culture. I want to be the one making a difference in my world. If that's you, raise your hand. Raise it high. Raise it high. Listen, you can't change the world if you're in the wine press. We as pastors and we as preachers have made it too easy for people to be shy and insecure and scared. And it's time to get out of the wine press. It's time to get out of the cave. It's time to get out of the safe place. And it's time to be willing to take a stand. I'm going to count to three real fast. And if your hand's raised, you got to be willing to take a stand. You can't be scared. When I count to three, I want the army of 300. I want you marching to this altar and taking a stand. I want you willing to take a stand, because you got to be willing to stand for something right now. You can't do it in the wine press anymore. You can't do it in a safe place anymore. You got to do it out loud. Ready? Are you ready? One. When I get to three, everybody stand. You come on. You come on. Two. Come on. Three. Come on. Right now, 300. I need 300 men and women willing to take a stand. I need, just push your way. Just push. There's plenty of room. Just push on through. Oh, we need people willing to take a stand. Just push on through. Just push on through. Just push on through. Just push on through and say, that's what I want for my life. I want to be a father. I want to be a mother. I want to be a leader. I want to be a man, woman, boy, or child. That's me. I want to be it. I want it. I want it. Come on. Yeah, that's right. Come on. Come on. Come on. All over this place. Come on. All over this place. All over this place. All over this place. All over this place. Hallelujah. All over this place. Every hand. Every hand. Every man, woman, boy, or child that feels that call. That feels that call right now. Wake up. It's time to wake up. The alarm is going off. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. Hallelujah. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. Give me something, God. It's time to wake up. World changers.